There's a lot of bad news in the world today. There's so much evil going on. The news cycle just goes on and on and on because bad things tend to make the news. Violence and war and human trafficking and other kinds of exploitation of human beings made in the image of God. There's hateful speech. There's indifference to the suffering of immigrants. There's a destruction of the environment. And many more things. The list can go on and on and on. And when I pray, I often ask God, Lord, did you really make us in your image? And God always gives me the same answer. He said, yes, I made each one of you in my image. Read my book. Read the Bible and pray for understanding. So I thought, in the midst of some not so nice news, it was a good time to remind ourselves that we have, each one of us, been made in God's image. And I'm sure that if you're like I am, you have wondered at one time in your life, usually when you're younger, what that means, and we have made God in our image. We've given him a head and hair and hands and a mouth and eyes and feet. We tend to concentrate on the physical. Well, is it a physical image that God is talking about in Genesis? Perhaps. But all of creation bears the stamp of God's creative ability. In a sense, it bears his image as well. So there has to be more to the image of God than the physical. There is. The image of God is honor and justice. Our Creator made men and women to honor the whole creation in all of its glory. And by honoring that creation, we honor the Creator. We honor God. It's interesting, we human beings are the only creatures that God made that can choose to honor or to dishonor our Creator. We are the only part of God's creation that can choose to be just or unjust. And we need God's help to make the right choices. We need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, how do we, made with and in that image of God, how do we honor God, the Creator? How do we live justly in our relationships to our neighbors and to the creation? And logically, the obvious place for us to look for answers is the Bible. I have my copy here. I don't see too many copies there. Oh, they're okay. The logical place to look is in the Bible. There we can find out what God said and what he did in this world. We can't see God. If we want to know how to honor him, we have to look at someone we can see. And that someone, of course, is Jesus Christ. We need to listen to the words of Jesus. We need to follow his teaching. We need to imitate Christ. We need to see Jesus as more than just a man he certainly was, but we need to see Jesus as the Savior. We need to see Jesus whose death and resurrection make us able to assist God in reconciling the world to himself. So I'm going to read a few passages to help us understand how we can live bearing that image. And the first one is from Luke 4, 18 to 22. Jesus came to Nazareth. This is at the very start of his ministry. And he went into the temple. He took the scroll out of the storage place, unrolled it, and he said these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We should note that here, Jesus is focusing on the poor, which he did almost throughout his whole ministry. He's focusing on the disenfranchised, the people who have no rights. He's focusing on the least of those among us. I think we have to do more of that. Luke 10, 25 to 37 is a part of the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I won't retell the whole story here. You know it very well. A Pharisee who was an expert in the law came to Jesus and he asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then Jesus told him this parable. The parable where there's a man who is traveling and he was beaten and robbed and left to die on the side of the road. And while he was laying there, barely able to talk or moan, a priest and a Levite passed him and ignored him completely. But a hated Samaritan, somebody the Jews did not like at all, stopped. And he had mercy on him. And he did something about this. And I read just two verses, 36 and 37 from Luke 10. He looked at the young lawyer, or the Pharisee, the expert in the law, and he said, "Which of the three that passed was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" Well, the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus just said, "Go and do likewise." We must show mercy and justice to those in need. We must show mercy and justice to strangers among us, to the immigrants who come to us, and to the poor people who live among us. There's another parable I want to quote a part of, and that's the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as in some texts say, or some even say a loving father. In the storyline you know well, there were two brothers, and the younger one was feeling like he had to go travel and spend the money that was coming to him. So he asked his father, who was rather wealthy, he said, "Father, give me my inheritance so I can take it now and do whatever I want to do." So the father gave it to him, and it must have been a fairly good chunk of money. And the young man took off and did his thing for the parable doesn't tell us how long, but it's like today's, you ask your father if he has the means for your inheritance, and you go buy a Mercedes-Benz, and you take off and you go to Las Vegas, and it's wine, women, and song until the money runs out. So this young man ran out of money. He took all kinds of part-time jobs. None of them paid well. And he was dirt poor. And he finally got a job working for a farmer, just feeding the pigs. And that was enough to wake him up. So he said, "I'm going home. I can live better than this. Maybe my father will forgive me. Anything is better than what I'm doing now." And then I read these verses. "But while this young man was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe that I have, put it on him, go kill the fatted calf and prepare it, put a ring on his finger. Let's have a feast, let's celebrate. For the son of mine this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. We must live with that kind of compassion, the compassion of that loving Father toward anybody. Doing what Jesus did and trying to do what he asked brings honor to God. And this is what that image of God means. When we reflect this, we reflect the image of God in each of us. Every time we visit a friend, every time we comfort the sick, every time we write a check to a maltrotter mission, perhaps, to Guiding Light, every time we send a few dollars to our grandson or our sons or daughters to help pay their college tuition, every time we pray with or for one another, every time we sing praises to God who made us, every time we defend the defenseless, every time we speak on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves, every time we stand up for the environment in which we live, every time we march with immigrants who can't do anything but march, we bring honor to God's creation. We are demonstrating what it means to be made in God's image. And lastly, I want to read a few verses from Matthew 25, 34 through 40, if you have a Bible. Then the king said, this is the parable of the sheep and the goats, or the parable of judgment. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, I was naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, I was in the hospital, or I was home, and you visited me. You looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as stranger and invite you in? Or when did we see you naked and bring you clothes? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. You know, it really doesn't get any clearer than that. This is what it means to be made in the image of God. This is what people like you and I, made in God's name and image, are to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.